A good video game is fun, right? But what does fun mean? Ralph Koster's book, A Theory of Fun for Game Design, is a good place to start, but I'll also turn to a figure who looms large in my life, an authority on fun, Captain James T. Kirk. This is Dennis Jers. I'm teaching a class on video games at Seton Hill University. In his book, A Theory of Fun, Ralph Koster ties fun to the release of endorphins, those chemicals in the brain that make us feel good. When we recognize a pattern, when we get what something is all about, our brain rewards us with a dose of endorphins. That's why we feel good when we suddenly understand a clue in the New York Times crossword puzzle. As long as those endorphins keep flowing, we find the crossword rewarding. If the clues are too hard, or we realize we solved this same puzzle yesterday, the good feeling stops, and we feel bored. It was fun. Those are the dying words of my hero, James T. Kirk. In Star Trek Generations, Kirk, worn out after a career spent saving the universe, has settled down on an Earthbound ranch, where we find him cooking breakfast for the love of his life. At least that's what Kirk thinks. A visitor tells him that Kirk has cheated death by entering the Nexus, a rift in space and time, where his experiences are an idealized fabrication, a simulation of a safe, static life. Resisting the idea that his newfound happiness is an illusion, Kirk mounts his horse, thunders across the countryside, and leaps over a gully. But his gut tells him something's wrong. Swaddled in the Nexus, Kirk's reckless horsemanship carries no risk. Because failure here has no consequences, achievement in the Nexus is a pale echo of his previous successes. It's no fun. Kirk willingly leaves the Nexus, knowing the odds on the outside are grim and the situation is dire. That choice costs him his life, but rewards him with more fun. The way Koster puts it, our brains reward us with drugs when we learn something new. When our brains tell us an endeavor is trivial, winning isn't really an accomplishment. That's why few adults really enjoy playing a simple game like tic-tac-toe, and why Captain Kirk quickly tired of jumping an imaginary canyon. In a safe life, Kirk found pleasure. He found happiness there. But only when death is an imminent threat can he feel the chemical rush that leads him to say, as he does with his dying breath, "It was fun." Actually, those aren't Kirk's final words. As his head falls back the final time, his eyes seem to fix on something in the distance, and he has a simple, almost boyish response. Oh my. Something, some vision, has grabbed his attention. Even as his life leaves his body, this vision animates him. You can almost feel the chill that goes down his back. That's the release of endorphins into his spinal column, as he faces the ultimate challenge, as he dies. Koster says that a good game is one that teaches everything it has to offer before we stop playing it. I think Koster and Captain Kirk during a death scene offer a pretty good idea of what fun means. But where do video games fit in? Kirk rejected the illusions of the Nexus in favor of the uncertainty of the real world. Why, if the brain rewards significant accomplishments, do so many gamers keep making their avatars hop across imaginary canyons? Obviously, gamers feel that the skills they gain and the sensory experiences they unlock as they progress through a game are valuable experiences. But how do video games match up with Koster's definition of fun as a learning activity? If Koster is right and our brains are hardwired to explore strange new challenges, then why are cheat codes so popular? At Seton Hill University, this is Dennis Jers.